الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Respected elders, brothers, and young ones in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Over the past few weeks, the Muslims around the world were gripped and were in shock and great pain when our brothers and sisters, especially in Palestine, were made to suffer at the hands of the enemies in such a way that they did not distinguish between human being and animal. Indeed, we have the greatest love and admiration for our brothers and sisters of Palestine, who in those trying times, in those difficult times, bring to life this verse of the Quran which I just recited. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه ما عاهدوا الله عليه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse of the Quran which was revealed after the battle of Uhud, with regards to some of the believers and some of the shuhada, says that from amongst the believers there are those who were true to Allah, who were loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ. They have played their role. Some of them, they played their role. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had entrusted them to fulfill, they fulfilled. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. And others have that will, those that are still living. In other words, those that have played their role and have become accepted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by martyrdom. And yet there are those who in their hearts that desire still remains, and that loyalty and willingness to sacrifice for the path of Allah remains, and they are ever ready to proceed in that direction. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And they did not waver, or they did not for a moment make any change in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were directed to them. So indeed we have great admiration for those people. But when it comes to us, ourselves over here, many miles away from them, we have to ask ourselves this question, that after all these weeks, has it just been an incident? Or has it just been one of those things that has happened to the ummah that we have heard? At that time, we felt a bit difficult in our hearts, and now we have forgotten. What is the lesson that we have drawn, or how have we changed our lives since these events have occurred? This is what we need to ask ourselves and reflect, including myself. So if we have to analyze what the ulama have explained with regards to these kind of persecutions that have come upon the Muslims, then it is nothing new. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us previously who are the enemies and who are our most ardent enemies. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ. You will find these people that were persecuting the Muslims in Palestine. They are the most, they carry and harbor the most enmity towards believers. So this is nothing new. كَيْفَ وَإِن يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ لَا يَرْقَبُوا فِيكُمْ إِلَّا وَلَا ذِمَّةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that how are you expecting to live in peace when you know that these are such people that if they gain dominance over you, then لَا يَرْقَبُوا فِيكُمْ إِلَّا وَلَا ذِمَّةً. They will not have consideration for the least of things. They will not have consideration for any ties. They will not have consideration for their word or for their pledges. Yet on the other hand, when we look at the way the Muslims dealt with when they were conquerors, Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab, it is reported, in fact this fact has been authenticated and has been accepted by the Western historians also, that when he arrived in Baytul Maqdis at a place called Kanisatul Qiyamah, which according to the Christians is more holier than the Vatican itself. When he arrived there, it was a time for Salah. So, the people said that, why don't you perform your Salah in this area? Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab said, no, I will not perform Salah here. And the reason he gave is he told the other Christians that were around that area, he said that if I have to perform my Salah over here today, then after my time, the Muslims will come and say that Umar performed Salah here, so let us break this church down and make a masjid. So Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab picks up a stone and throws that stone. And where the stone lands, he performs his Salah. And the world is witness today that masjid exists up to today, barely a few meters from where Kanisatul Qiyamah is. So nevertheless, I was saying that we need to look at what lessons we can take in our lives from these kinds of incidents. The first most important lesson that each and every one of us should reflect upon and should consider within ourselves when it comes to these kinds of difficulties that are facing the Ummah, that since these things have happened, or since the most recent incidents have happened, which sins each and every one of us knows within his or her hearts, that which is that sin which is keeping me away from the closeness of Allah? Just that one, the one main issue that is creating a barrier between me and my Allah. What is that, and have I given that up? That is why Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, he used to make this dua, Allahumma akhrijil yahudiyyata wa nasraniyata min qulubil muslimin. But before we talk about, you know, saying that the Arab lands must come under the control of the Arabs, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi used to say that, oh Allah, remove the lifestyles of the Jews and Christians from the hearts of the believers. Before we talk about boycotting their products, which according to some views may have an effect. There is very well that there could be difference of opinion upon this fact, whether or not it is beneficial. But that is a separate matter. More importantly, is have we boycotted the negative elements in their lifestyle? Sometimes we are under the misconception that everything, there are many aspects which they have implemented in their lives, like when it comes to honesty and the dealings nowadays, unfortunately, with a heavy heart we have to say, that when we see the dealings of some of our Muslim brothers today, then with a heavy heart we have to, many a times we've heard that people saying, businessmen saying, I prefer dealing with people from other faiths. So when we talk about boycotting their lifestyles, we're not talking about those good things which they learn from us. So have we boycotted their lifestyles before we've decided to boycott their products? For us, that, you know, all other types of demands and things that we are asking, what changes have we brought about in our own life? So this is the second lesson. Firstly, removing or abstaining from those major sins, or that single most significant sin that we are committing within our lives that is keeping us distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, boycotting the lifestyles, the negative elements. The second point we said is to boycott the lifestyles. Thirdly, if we have to analyze the lifestyles of our pious predecessors, we find that any nation that achieved strength, progress, superiority, leadership, that nation or the citizens of that nation stayed away from a life of opulence and luxury. In Bidayah wa Nihaya, in the story of Umar radiallahu anhu, when he approached Baytul Maqdis, it is mentioned that تَقَدَّمَ عُمَرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ وَنَزَلَ عَنْ بَغْلَتِهِ. That Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he was entering Baytul Maqdis, he came forward whilst he was riding a mule. وَالسَّكِينَةُ وَالْوَقَارُ يُجَلِّلَانِ مِنْهُ. At the same time, a great amount of awe and natural splendor was apparent on him. وَعَلَيْهِ ثِيَابٌ مُرَقَّعَةٌ. The historians write that he was wearing patched clothing. فَقَادَ لَهُ أَحَدُ الصَّحَابَةِ. One of the Sahaba said, لَوْ جَعَلْنَاكَ نُرْكِبُكَ دَابَّةً غَيْرَ هَذِهِ وَثِيَابًا غَيْرَ هَذِهِ. He said that if only you could allow us to give you an animal which is better than this one, or clothes that are better, because this is such a significant event in the calendar of the Muslims, in the history of the Muslims. That Sahabi was at Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, لَوْ قَالَهَا غَيْرُكَ يَبْنَ عُبَيْدًا. He said, if only somebody else beside you, Abu Ubaidah, had said that, لَعَلَوْتُهُ بِالدِّرْوَى. I would have hit him with a whip. Because Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah was very close to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Then he said those golden words. Those words which are worthy of being engraved into the mind and heart of every believer from the time of birth. He said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a nation. We are a people whom Allah has given us our izzat, our dominance, our respect, our strength, our power through Islam. وَمَهْمَا طَلَبْنَا الْعِزَّةَ فِي غَيْرِهَا أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. And whenever we sought dominance, whenever we sought strength, progress in things besides Islam, then Allah has disgraced us there and then. Similarly, we find in the life of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayh, he says, once he arrived in Egypt, when Allah had given him the tawfiq of conquering Egypt, he says that I realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give me the opportunity, inshallah, to conquer the land of Bayt al-Maqdis. But he said, I took it upon myself to abstain, to live a life of abstinence, and to shun luxury and opulence from my life. So, this is the third element. The fourth thing that is of great importance today, and everybody complains, everybody asks that where is the leadership? Everybody asks that where is the leadership in the ummah? But let us go back to the Quran and the hadith, and look at what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that I recited earlier, kullukum ra'in, kullukum ra'in, wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. Each one of you is a shepherd, is a leader, and each one of you is responsible upon his flock. Now, to understand this hadith, Mufassireen have written great volumes on the explanation of this. But in very simple terms, in a few minutes, just to understand the profoundness of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us reflect. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, each one of us is a leader, it means that the teacher in the classroom is a leader of his students. It means that the employer is the leader of his employees. It means that the ustad in the madrasa is the leader. It also means that every human being over his own limbs of his body is a leader. He should be causing his limbs of his body to refrain, to stay away from harm, from evil. So when we complain that leadership, there's no leadership, then we should remember the first, that leadership starts with ourselves. That is why I have given this incident previously when we were in school. I remember one visiting lecturer gave us a very nice story. Whether it was true or not, I cannot say, but the lesson was very good. He said that a father was busy doing some work when the young child was disturbing, maybe a child of 2 or 3 years old. So the father was thinking of a way to keep the child busy. He takes a page of the world map, pulls it out of a magazine, and he tore it into a few pieces, and he gave it to the young child to put together, hoping that that would distract the child for some time whilst he finishes his work. Within a few minutes, the child returns with the world map, the entire world put together. So the father is astonished and he asks the child, what happened? How did you manage to put this together? So the child, in an innocent manner, said, Abba, if you look on the other side, there's a human being there. There's a picture of a man. I just put that man together and this whole map came together automatically. Now the lesson in it for us is that if each and every one of us focuses on his or her lives, then, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find that change. We must do what is necessary for us. We're always asking that when is the change going to come? When is it going to happen? Yes, the indications have been given. In the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the signs when the help of Allah is going to come. There are no doubt signs. حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. When the conditions became so bad. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. When the disbelievers became obsessed, they thought that adab is not going to come. When the Nabi was so concerned, اسْتَيْأَسُوا. He now believed that the help of Allah is only going to come when Allah decides. To that extent, بَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. When the hearts reach the throat, the help of Allah is going to come. But at the same time, whilst the signs are there, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَإِمَّا نُرِيَنَّكَ بَعْضَ الَّذِينَ عِدُهُمْ أَوْ نَتَوَفَّيَنَّكَ. If we choose to show you what we have promised for them, in other words, the punishment, the compensation for their actions, أَوْ نَتَوَفَّيَنَّكَ, or we choose to take you or bring you away to us in full. In other words, to take your life, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنُ الْحِسَابِ. In both instances, your responsibility is to cause the message to be passed on. وَعَلَيْنَ الْحِسَابِ. And upon us is the compensation. And upon us is to take the account of those people whom we have said that we will take their account. So our job is to carry on doing what we have to do. Now when it comes to leadership, we understand that it is an attribute that is desired, and as Muslims, each one of us is a leader. Today they say that a certain person has leadership qualities. But leadership as Muslims is supposed to be found within each and every one of us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates such circumstances, such situations, that certain people, once the community is full of leaders, like how Islam has expected from us, then certain people will stand out. This is what Maulana Abu Hassan Ali Radhi Rahmatullah Alayhi, after studying the history of nations over hundreds of years and documented it in a scientific manner, he writes that two things are required. Two things are required for revolution and for progress in any nation. Firstly is that there should be sincerity and loyalty of that nation with the people, with their creator. This is the first element. In other words, there must be a society, a nation that is loyal, that fulfills the commands of their creator. And secondly, the leadership. But this leadership will come from that very community. That is why we find it in the writings, one author puts it very beautifully, that there's a role for every person to play. And this was found in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Be he the most wealthiest or the poorest, be he the most intelligent and qualified or the least qualified, apparently. This author writes very beautifully. He said, كانت سياسه الرسول تقوم على اكتشاف مزايا اصحابه والافاده من طاقاتهم الكامله. He said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam style of leading, siyasa meaning politics is leading. As Muslims, the way that he led people was based upon what? اكتشاف مزايا اصحابه, extracting and identifying the leader, the qualities, the skills, the strength of every person. If the person was skilled in speaking or in languages, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got that person to apply his skills towards that area. We cannot talk about becoming dominant when we haven't learned how to share and unify diverse opinions. We cannot gain strength from diversity. We cannot talk about being dominant. We cannot expect that the ummah is going to gain progress if we are only considered, or our actions are impulsive. We hear something, we don't have any tolerance for any ideas or any other views. We cannot talk. We cannot talk about being dominant when we haven't learned honesty and proper dealings. If you look at the lives of people related to our current situation, if you look at the life of Nuruddin Zangi Rahmatullah Ali, Al-Malikul Adil, they call him, the just ruler, who was the mentor of Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Alayhi, who we know was the conqueror. Nuruddin Zangi Rahmatullah Alayhi, his biographer Ibn Shaddad writes that Nuruddin Zangi Rahmatullah Alayhi a case was made against him whilst he was the ruler. Just imagine, whilst he was the ruler. So he appears in court and the judgment is made in his favor. After the judgment is made in his favor, he forfeits his right. The person who made the case, he said, never mind, this is yours. So those that were with him, they said that, but why did you come then to the court? So one is, he came to the court as the ruler of the time. And I omitted to mention that he sent a letter to the qadi, to the judge, that I'm coming to the court, but dare you show me any special treatment. So nevertheless, as I said, the judgment was passed in his favor, and the people asked him after that, when he forfeited his right, they asked him that, why then come to the court in the first place? So he said, no, I came to the court because if I chose to forfeit my right at that stage, not that people would think I was wrong, no. Listen to this. He said that I forfeited my right because people would think that as a ruler I was too proud to come to the court. So I wanted to show them that this is justice in Islam. So these are the types of leadership qualities that we speak of. When we speak about leader, every one of us can inculcate it. In our own households, the husband being the leader of the family, the managing director being the leader of his employees. It is not only, we only know about leadership when we're talking about financial matters. This is not only leadership. So leadership should permeate throughout every aspect of Muslim life. Similarly, there are other qualities. If we look at leadership, the quality of tolerance. It's narrated regarding Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullahi alayhi, that in one sitting, as the ruler of the time of Sham, he asked for some water. Now we all know that leaders are used to things happening very quickly, but for some reason the command was not actioned. First time, second time, the historians write 5 times. Then finally, in a light-hearted manner, he tells his friends or his colleagues that were with him, he says that, I'm dying of thirst. Without getting upset, now let us reflect over our lives. We talk about big things that we want to achieve. But have we shown that leadership in minor things also in our lives? When it comes to our dealings with our spouses, our employees? Similarly, the whole aspect of generosity. This is also a quality of leadership which Islam has placed great emphasis upon. It is narrated regarding Salahuddin Ayyubi and also Nuruddin Zanki. Both, as far as Salahuddin Ayyubi, historians have written that zakah never became wajib upon him. Because he never kept wealth equivalent to nisab for more than a year. Similarly, he didn't perform hajj. Not because he was so preoccupied with the need of the time, which was the struggle for Muslim dominance. So this is what we mean by leadership. There is no need to give up hope. In fact, there is every reason to be hopeful. Because we are a nation that has these great luminaries to look back to. It's just a question of going back and reflecting upon what needs to be done. And inshallah ta'ala, if we adopt and we inculcate these 3 or 4 aspects that we mentioned. Firstly, leaving out in the beginning at least that sin which we know in our hearts is causing the barrier between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, boycotting the negative aspects of lifestyles of people that are foreign from of Islamic teachings. Thirdly, living a life of simplicity. And fourthly, adopting those important qualities, the quality of leadership which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about in the hadith which I recited in the beginning, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give first of all myself the tawfiq to make amal upon what has been said and each and every one of us that is here today. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.